Well, welcome back to the Back in Five podcast. My name is Sean Clark, and I'm joined alongside our senior pastor, Brad Belcher, and he is continuing on in the Gospel of Mark series that we're doing, and it actually concludes on Resurrection Sunday. We're really excited about that. We have a lot of good things in the works as far as planning that service together. And but this last week, we found ourselves in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 14, verses 26 through 72, and I had mentioned to the congregation at the beginning of the service that this is kind of where so many things are starting to go downhill, apparently, for these Jesus followers and Jesus himself. And so let's talk through the passage, starting there at verse 26. What are some of the things that we see here going on in the passage?
Well, the passage starts out with Jesus basically telling Peter that, you know, you're really going to mess up here shortly. Hmm. And Peter's emphatic in verse 29, you know, even though they all fall away, I will not. And Jesus says, look, dude, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times. And again, Peter counters that. If I must die with you, I will not deny you. And apparently they all said the same.
Yeah.
All the disciples were saying the same thing here.
Right, yeah, I saw that at the end of the text there. It says, like, and I circled that, and they all said the same. It's like Peter's singled out here a little bit, but they all, you know, had said that. And so one of the things that you talked about was the importance of keeping our vows.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously, Peter's saying, you know, I'd rather die than deny you. I mean, that's a pretty strong statement.
Mm.
And at the same time, he's not going to be able to do it. Because, first of all, Jesus is making it clear that he's not going to be able to mm-hmm. do it. And then at the end of this chapter, we find out that he wasn't able to do it.
Yeah. So we talked about the importance of keeping our vows, and Jesus is trying to prepare them for what is getting ready to ensue. And so he takes them away to Gethsemane, and he asks them to sit and pray. And so talk about that, staying vigilant.
Yeah, Jesus calls them to be vigilant here, and the first thing is this idea of being vigilant in obedience. And, you know, I want you to stay here, and I want you to pray. I want you to keep watch. And a lot of times we really wrestle with just being obedient and doing exactly what Jesus said. In this case, these guys are going to start nodding off, and they're not going to be vigilant. And they're going to wrestle in their obedience. And Jesus is going to call, he's going to call them out on this at least three times. But then, you know, we see this example of Jesus as he's preparing for the cross. And he's seeking his Heavenly Father in prayer in verse 35. And he comes back and finds these guys all crashed and encourages them to watch and pray. And verse 38 and 39, he went back, and here he is crying out to the Lord, demonstrating his own faithfulness. So he's vigilant in his own faithfulness, even though they're not,
even
the disciples
not.
Aren't doing very well in obedience or in prayer. But Jesus is all about obedience, doing the Father's will and not his own.
Mm. And it's interesting, too, because, you know, Mark points out in verse 33 that he took with him Peter, James, and John. These are the three guys that just a few chapters earlier had this amazing experience with the Mount of Transfiguration, seeing Jesus, and Jesus is going to take them aside. And it's interesting, he's like, can't you even stay vigilant, you know, for 1 hour?
Yeah.
And I see myself like totally in that boat. Like I'm Peter, James, and John here. You know, I'm the disciples. My spirit is indeed willing, but my flesh.
Well, these guys are the three musketeers here. I mean, these are the three guys that Jesus has singled out by way of mentoring them in discipleship. And I mean, think about it. You're in crisis, and you have some buddies, and you ask them to just you just be with me and keep watch for me, and they don't do it. I mean, just how sad this is for Jesus as he's crying out, pouring out his heart to his Heavenly Father, and the intensity of it. In other passages, we see he's sweating blood. He keeps going back to his Heavenly Father three times, just saying, not my will, but your will be done. And even though the whole time he's wanting this cup of wrath to be put away from him.
Hmm.
So
The text continues on there in verse 43, that next little segment there. And you talked about remaining devoted. I think you gave us a Greek word of skandalizo, I believe it was. So talk a little bit about that passage of scripture there.
Well, the opposite of being devoted is falling away, which is the scandalizo, where we're scandalized. And we need to remain devoted. And what we see through this passage is nobody's devoted.
Right.
And they're all scandalized. And it starts out with the chief priests, scribes, and the elders who totally have rejected Jesus. So the whole is Israeli political and religious system has totally rejected Christ. We have the disciples who have ditched him, and so they do not remain devoted. And then we have this little discussion about how this young man, again, we think it's John Mark, the author of the book of Mark, who in the final analysis tries to get away and ends up running away with nothing on. So he's the first biblical streaker, we find. And again, these guys, the whole thing hits the fan, and they're all out of there.
Yeah, yeah.
And they don't remain devoted. So the call, this is one of those things that where we see in a passage where something negative, I try to put it forward. Okay, so what's the opposite of this? What should we be instead of this? Well,
yeah.
We need to remain devoted, unlike what we're seeing here.
Right, and just as a way of previewing, our Good Friday service is going to be kind of based off of Mark chapter 14, verse 50, where it says, "And they all left him and fled." We want to kind of explore that a little bit, like the aloneness and the forsakenness of our Savior on our behalf. So, but the passage continues on. We had a big passage to talk through and preach on this last week, and you talked about how we should be able to follow our Savior by enduring violence, because that's what he went through. And obviously, you see all throughout the New Testament, we are called to follow him even in our suffering. So talk about that passage there.
Well, he suffers violence against his character as these false charges are brought forward. There was those who were bringing false witness against him. And in the end, they all condemned him as deserving of death. And, this is they're trumped up charges, a complete disregard for what's true. And then you get this huge overreaction from the high priest with his conclusion, tearing his robe, saying, what further witnesses do we need? He's blasphemy. Because for me in this passage, probably the most incredible statement is in verse 62 when Jesus said, "I am." Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? I am. Ego, I, me in the Greek. Which is, very indicative of so many other I am statements that Jesus makes throughout Scripture. And you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming with the clouds of heaven. So this is our Savior. He is the great I am. He is the Christ, the Christos, the Messiah, the Mashiach, the one, the anointed one we've been waiting for. And they're looking right at him, and their conclusion is, off with his head. This is horrible. I can't believe he just said that. And he needs to be put to death. So then he starts suffering, violence immediately, where these guys are spitting on him. Mm-hmm. They're covering up his face and smacking him and saying, "Hey, prophesy, who did that?" And then it says the last part of verse 65, and the guards received him with blows. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're beating the crud out of him.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, think about the prophecies of Isaiah, man of sorrows, and one of the ways that we definitely see we should be opposite of what our, what's laid out before us in the text is the last part here, because you talked about we need to be able to voice our commitment to Jesus, and that's just something that Peter couldn't bring himself to doing in our last little segment there, verses 66 through 72. So talk just briefly about that.
Well, quite frankly, in our own rebellion, when we're doing our own thing, we're not voicing our commitment to him.
Right, right.
And how often are we really, really communicating a horrible witness in just how we're living? To be a Christ person and then live otherwise, that really is to take God's name in vain, ultimately. And so we need to voice our commitment, unlike what Peter did here, where he denied him three times. And through that process is completely scandalized, you know, scandalizo. He stumbles terribly. And I mentioned it in the message about the John passage where Jesus restores Peter. And the rest of Mark, we're just not going to see that. So I needed to wrap that up here in this context. And but, you know, what a beautiful, wonderful reality is, you know, soon after the resurrection, Jesus is actually asking for Peter to go talk with him and to sort him out. And the next thing we know, Peter, full of the Holy Spirit, is preaching the gospel in the streets of Jerusalem, and thousands are coming to Christ.
Right.
Total restoration. It's just beautiful.
Yeah, because the text ends with, and he broke down and he wept.
Yeah.
And I remember you saying on Sunday, you quoting the verse, like, you know, godly sorrow leads to repentance. Like, not remaining in our guilt and shame, but finding ourselves in a place of brokenness and true repentance in order for the purpose of being restored.
Yeah, we serve a good God. Mm. You know, you'd think that Jesus would hate Peter from here on out.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, he loves him, and just as he loves us.
Yeah. So we continue on in the series this next week, and we're going to be looking at chapter 15, verses 1 through 15, where the trial is kind of a bogus trial.
it's amazing.
Yeah.
The trial that we're going to look at here, if you look at all the passages, all the gospel accounts, at least seven times Pilate tries to get out of it.
Yeah.
Incredible. Yeah. But it's going to happen.
So we look forward to hearing from God through his holy word on Sunday, and we hope that you guys come out at 9:30 or 11. We'll see you then.